I'm sitting here with Lucy Blake. Lucy Blake is the Chief Executive Officer of the Apollo Alliance. Lucy, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you.
Tell me what the Apollo Alliance is.
The Apollo Alliance is a national coalition of labor unions, environmental groups, inner city community groups, and clean energy businesses working to transform the American economy to a clean energy economy with good jobs.
So when I hear both Senator Obama and Senator Clinton, they're talking about green jobs. This is interesting because I can't recall an election before this one where that phrase was even used, green jobs. But both of them use it a lot. What's a green job?
A green job is a job that is a well-paying, family-supporting job that is also going to move us forward in addressing our climate change and environmental challenges.
Give me an example. Name some green jobs.
I'll give you a classic example. An electrician who is involved in putting solar panels on buildings, that's a green job. In fact, we would call that a green-collar job because it's a blue-collar job that is now evolved into a what we call now a green-collar job. There are many, many other such jobs, manufacturing, transit systems, or rail cars, that would be a green-collar job. Retrofitting buildings to make them more energy efficient, those would be green-collar jobs.
Now, Republicans argue, and I've heard them say it, that when you do things to help the environment, you harm the economy, that there's a trade-off between helping the environment and helping the economy. I take it you disagree.
We do. We disagree very strongly. You have to understand that energy that's wasted is just waste. It's money that's wasted. And so if we can capture energy savings, that's money that we can reinvest in advancing our economy. And so the idea that energy efficiency really is a no-brainer from an economic development standpoint. Obviously, we want to do that. But beyond that, right now in the United States, many, many states have passed renewable portfolio standards to increase the amount of renewable energy that is produced at the state level. And right now, a lot of states are buying renewable energy products from abroad. And what we want to do at the
Apollo... Because Europe is better at this than
us. Well, they did. They when we sort of went to sleep and stopped paying attention to renewable energy about 10 or 15 years ago, the Europeans knew that global warming is happening, knew that the world was going to need these clean energy technologies, and they jumped in and they started producing them. And they also supported those industries with strong incentives for local production. So Germany, for instance, we don't think of Germany as a great solar power producer. It rains all the time there. It's gray. But they produce more solar power than any other country in Europe. And it's impressive, and more than the United States.
So is this, what do we need? I mean, solar panels on our homes, on our roofs, is that what we need?
We need a complete transformation of the American economy. There isn't anything about this building or the way you and I got here this morning that doesn't need to be reconceived. So just starting with our homes, we need more energy efficient homes so we can save money and be more comfortable. We need more efficient, what that means is more efficient heating and cooling systems for homes, more efficient lighting. So it's a brand new way of building, and it also means retrofitting our old buildings to save money. We need transit systems that we can all use to get to work. I actually rode the metro today here. It worked perfectly. And if that system were expanded more broadly, a lot more people wouldn't have to get in their car. They'd have that time to read the newspaper and talk to their friends.
Now, in Brazil, and I find this extraordinary, it's still amazing to me that it happens. You tell people this, they don't believe it. But correct me if I'm wrong, 40% of their motor vehicle fleet runs on sugarcane.
I think it's even greater than that. I think
that's probably
more
an old statistic.
I think about 80% of the cars, or 95% of the cars in Brazil are flex fuel vehicles. They can either run on biofuels or they can run on gasoline. And now they're more and more of them are running on biofuels.
Now, obviously, sugarcane probably grows better in Brazil than in most places in the United States. What do we need? Soybeans? Switchgrass?
I think what we found out over the last few years is that some of these biofuels that we started in the United States, corn ethanol and things like that, have other environmental costs. And in fact, we switched to them thinking that they were cleaner fuels. But if you add up the number of times a tractor goes up and down the row and the energy costs of actually producing the corn ethanol, it's a dubious benefit.
So corn
is definitely not the answer. What is starting to emerge are some possibilities around switchgrass and other cellulosic ethanol. And I think that's probably the best in the fuels department. But beyond that, I think what's happening in the transportation sector is more and more people are looking into it, is a shift towards plug-in vehicles. They're going to be electric vehicles. So we're going to see a complete transformation of the transportation sector in the United States. I think there'll be some fuel vehicles, clean fuel vehicles, but I think more and more people are going to be switching to
plug-in. There's a structural problem here. I mean, here we have gas stations.
Right.
Probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, I don't know, all around every street corner in the most rural areas of America, everywhere that these gas stations, along with, you know, dirtying the soil and all that, the environmental damage that it does, but it's there, the structure is there. I guess what I'm curious about is how did Brazil put in all these biofuel stations? I mean, do we have to redesign gas stations across America?
I don't. If one were going to go to biofuels in a significant way, one would need new pumps. You don't need new gas stations. You just need some new pumps. So it's not that big a deal, but it is going to be important to put those the pumps in, and that's something, if you talk to people in the biofuels industry, they talk about the need to create a distribution network. But
the electricity, right? You gotta plug up your car.
Well, the plug-ins are going to be really interesting. The key breakthrough there that we haven't made is the breakthrough on the battery technology. The batteries are getting better, but they're still very expensive.
So might you do that at home? Just plug it in when you're sleeping?
Yeah, but you're still going to need a battery in your car so it can hold the charge and so you can drive a certain number of miles. And so, yeah, you can plug it in. You could have a solar. Imagine this. I don't think it's very far away. 15 years from now, even less, a lot of Americans have garages. You have a solar panel on your garage that all day long is collecting the sun's energy
sure.
putting into a battery in your garage. You come home.
Just switch out
the
batteries.
Plug it. No, you don't even need to do that. You just plug it in. And you charge your car. And so it's just a remarkable, it may not even need the battery. In this case, you may end up just plugging into the grid, but you can be producing the equivalent amount of energy at home in everybody's house.
But to switch these technologies, we talked about, there's a distribution network, there's new pumps, there's new things. Brazil has managed to do it. What do we need in America? You know, we spent $1 trillion or $2 or $3 on the war in Iraq. How much money would it take? What kind of government money do you need to move this process along, or can private industry do this all by themselves?
I think you do need a federal investment. I think you need a federal investment in certain areas that are really important. One of the areas where we need a federal investment to transform ourselves to a clean energy economy is mass transit. You know, no matter how entrepreneurial private business is, they're not going to build mass transit systems. And so clearly that's a place where federal leadership is needed. We also need the right kind of policies. For instance, in building transit cars right now in the United States, we've had policies that have been in place since the 50s that require that train cars and rail cars that are produced for the American market have to be assembled in the United States. And that was a law that was apparently passed in the 50s. And 65% of the components that go into those cars have to be produced in America. The net result is that those cars are, in fact, produced in America, and we're producing lots of rail cars and are assembling a lot of rail cars. So if we had a similar kind of requirement with regard to renewable energy technology, we could be producing millions of jobs and billions of dollars of new technology right here at home, the technology that we need to buy and that we're currently...
But why do we need that? Why can't we compete? I mean, I would think...
We can. We can compete, but the question is, what kind of economy do we want? Do we want to have a low-wage economy in the United States where nobody really has enough money to buy an energy-efficient system, or they don't even have enough money to support their families? Or do we want to have a high-wage, high-quality economy? And so from the point of view of economic development in this country, it's important that we embrace the idea of building the products that Americans need and not buying everything from China. And as an example, right now we're buying a lot of wind turbines from places like Europe that are high-wage competitors, and we're buying them in U.S. dollars, buying European products.
Why would
Euro.
We do that? Because we don't have them in the
exactly,
United States?
Exactly, exactly.
That's amazing. Here we are. You're right. The dollar's very low. The euro's high. They don't have low wages like they do in China, and we're still buying European wind products?
Exactly, exactly. And there are some states that have gotten ahead of the game. And, for instance, Pennsylvania has been very, very aggressive about going abroad and courting companies and getting them to put manufacturing.
Right. You got to learn how they do it.
Right. Well, they did it very carefully. And one of the things that they did is they put a strong requirement for renewable energy in place in Pennsylvania. So they said, we're going to buy a certain amount of renewable energy. And then they got the utilities in Pennsylvania to commit to buying from this wind turbine company and said, if you come to our state, we will provide you with contracts to provide this renewable power.
But what I guess I'm trying to understand is, why aren't American companies doing it? I mean, if there is all this wealth to be made out here, why don't they go to Holland and study the windmills and then come home and do it? Where are enterprising entrepreneurs?
Well, let me tell you, like yourself, I guess. No, I think that there are very good reasons for that. One of the things that we've done in this country that's just completely wacky, as you start getting into this energy policy, you realize how we've proceeded with such fits and starts, is that in Germany, that we were talking about earlier, they have had what they call feed-in tariffs over there. But essentially, they've guaranteed a certain rate for all solar-powered energy. And so you produce solar-powered energy, it will be bought by the utilities and by the German government for a certain rate, and that is just set
by law.
We do
that now with coal. We do that now with oil. We do that with electricity, right?
We don't do that with renewable energy right now. And, yeah, we have tremendous subsidies in this country for oil and gas, tremendous subsidies, exploration subsidies, all kinds of subsidies. Billions and billions of dollars of subsidies, and we have treated renewable energy as if it were completely expendable, as opposed to one of the most important parts of our energy future.
So how ironic. We subsidize the past,
right?
And we make the future fend for itself.
Quite typical, don't you think?
Yeah, I think
we tend to look into the past, and the lobbies that develop in Washington are the lobbies of the status quo, not the lobbies for the future. And so in this case, the key for these renewable energy industries are two tax credits, investment tax credit and a production tax credit, that make them more competitive with oil. And it's exactly what they've done in Europe. And as a result, they have an explosion of production in renewable energy. And so we need to provide that kind of level playing field. We don't have a level playing field. These renewable technologies are competing with an unlevel playing field. And one of the things we have to do is get those production tax credits and investment tax credits in place. We'll see it.
It's amazing. So it's not even, all you're asking for is capitalism for
right.
a free market,
fair,
and
right.
a fair market.
Right.
And really the government is aiding the polluters and the old technology
exactly.
of the past. Lucy Blake, thanks for coming here on The Insights.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
It.